Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath made himself, or when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Note again what he said. When he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I want to talk to you about this thought for just a little while this morning. God has acted. How will you respond? God has acted. How will you respond? Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to use this verse as a launch pad and really deal with the Trinity in salvation. That is God acting to us, and how are we going to respond to that? Father, you know the need of the service today. I pray that thy divine will would be done. Save that sinner closest to hell, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to look into this verse again and talk to you just a little while about God has acted. How will you respond? When we come to this verse of Scripture in the Bible, we see the Lord himself became our substitute. We see the Lord himself bore our sin, and the Lord himself bled for our salvation. Now, I made this statement just a second ago. I want to look at the Trinity's part in the work of salvation. Now, what is the Trinity today? Well, the Trinity is the biblical truth that there is one God who is eternally existent in three distinct persons. Now, can I say that again? There is one God. Okay, let me say it again. There's one God in the Trinity, and he eternally exists in three distinct persons. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are co-eternal in nature, co-equal in nature, co-eternal in existence, and co-existential in being, sharing the same divine essence, yet each person is distinct in their role and their relationship. Note this, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't make no sense to my mind. Well, it doesn't have to make sense to our mind. It's the Bible today. And there is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Ghost. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father, yet they are all three fully and eternally God. Whenever you study the Word of God today, I want to look at their parts in salvation today. Number one, note this with me today, the sovereign's part in salvation, or God the Father. What was his part when it comes to salvation? Well, I really believe that God the Father, the sovereign's part in salvation, can be summed up in one verse today. You say, what is that verse? John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. For God, that's the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God the Father and the sovereign's part in salvation. Can I just say it this way? It can all be summed up in one word. There's one verse, but there's one word. Love. What was the Father's part in this? Man, it was love today. It was love. I began studying John 3:16 again this week, and here's what I found. I think you could say of this love that it's a so loved. It's a so loved. Now, there's a lot of writing and a lot of preaching and a lot of different sayings for this word so. So I scratched every bit of that and put it to the side and went straight and studied it myself. This word so is very interesting. And here's what I found out about it. If you'll take, I would say a concordance, but most of you have no clue what that is. But if you'll punch in blue letter Bible, a lot of y'all know what that is. If you'll punch in the blue letter Bible and go to John chapter 3 verse 16 and break it down on the inner liner and look at the word so, it's the Hebrew word hoto. And here is what that word means. In this way. That's what it means. So in this verse means in this way. So what is he saying? John 3:16 is saying this. It does not emphasize the degree of God's love, but the demonstration of God's love. It's the demonstration. It means this. In this way. So is saying God loved the world like this, or God loved the world this way. Well, what was this way? I tell you what this way was. He loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. Oh, yes, it's a so love. The Bible does not tell us how much God loves the world, but it does show us how much God loves the world. God loves, or God's love is not measured by emotion, but God's love is measured on a hill far away at a cross. Therefore, so points us not to the size of God's love, but to the sacrifice of God's love. Oh, yeah, the sovereign's part. Well, it was a so loved. It was a sent love. For God so loved the world that he gave. It was a sent love. Listen to what the Bible said in John 8. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Romans chapter number 8 says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not, with, or how shall he not, with him also freely give us all things? Look what the Bible said in John, or 1 John chapter number 4. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. What? To be the propitiation for our sin. Yes, it's a so love, but it's a sent love today. The sovereign's part. Well, what about this? Now stay with me just a minute. It's a singled out love. You say, what do you mean it's singled out? Well, what does it say? Whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him. Who did Christ single out? Who did God single out? Here's who he singled out. Everybody. If you're breathing today, guess what? God loves you. You say, preacher, you don't know my life. God loves you. You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been. God loves you. You don't know the life that I'm living now or the life that I had in the past. I may not, and I could care less to know about it. But what I do know is there is a God in heaven that loves you today. Oh, yes, but what about this? It's a secure love. I'm headed somewhere. It's a secure love. What did he say? He said this, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God the love of God is secure today. I'm glad it don't matter what I've done. He loves me. It don't matter what I may do. He loves me. There's absolutely nothing that can make God not love me. The sovereign's part in salvation, well, it was love. Number two, I want you to see the Son's part in salvation. Not only the sovereign, but I want you to see the Son's part. In Jesus, we see that he came. He lived a perfect life that we could not live. Met all the demands of the law of God. He died, took our punishment for sin, and paid our sin debt in full. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. There's the Son's part in salvation. Well, watch this. His body was a clean substitute. His body was a clean substitute. Can I just say this to you? There wasn't nobody else that could do this. There wasn't nobody. You know, the song is sung sometimes. They searched all over heaven for somebody. No, there was no search made in heaven for somebody to come to this earth. There was not but one that was able to be the substitute, and it had to be God the Son. That was it. His body was a clean substitute. Listen to what the Bible said in John chapter number 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what he was saying? Here's what he was saying. Right there is our substitute. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, they had made sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And here's what John is saying. He said, Hey boys, somebody's just showed up on the scene, and it is the darling Lamb of God. He said, Behold, why the Lamb of God? It wasn't just any lamb. It wasn't just any son. It wasn't just any man. Oh, but it was God incarnated into man. It was Jesus. He said right there, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what he was saying? He was saying this. That's our substitute. That one. Well, amen. That one right there. He's the one that can take our sin away. That one right there. He's the one that can wash us white as snow. That one right there. It's by him we can go to heaven. Oh, he was a clean substitute. What did the Bible say in Hebrews chapter number 7? Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. So the Son's part, his body was a clean substitute. But watch this, his blood was a cleansing sacrifice. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ today. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Well, think about this. Hebrews 9 said this. Is it all right if I just give you some Bible this morning? But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of heifers and sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Here's what that verse is saying. It's saying that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was a clean sacrifice, and God the Father accepted the blood from God the Son. Oh yes, the Son's part. Well, the Savior's part. There's the sovereign's part in salvation. There's the Son's part. Number three, watch this. There's the Spirit's part. There's the Holy Spirit's part. This is very important. Can I just say this? This is as important as all the others. And can I just say this? The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's not just something that flows. It's God. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Ghost has as much of a part in salvation as anybody else does in salvation. Note something with me. The Spirit's part in salvation, here it is. He convicts the sinner. I mean, Chad, the way you're convicted of your sin is through the work of the Holy Ghost. You want me to tell you who sat down on the seat beside of me July the 20th, 1994 and showed me I was lost? It was the Holy Ghost. You want me to tell you who showed you was lost? It was the Holy Ghost. You want me to tell you who tells you now that you're saved that you've done wrong? It's the Holy Ghost. I see the Spirit's part in salvation. He convicts the sinner. John 16 said this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, when you study that out, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is a judge. You know what the verse is saying simply? It is saying this. The Holy Ghost is the one that convicts us today. The Holy Spirit. So he does this. He convicts the sinner. But you know what the Holy Ghost does? He converts the sinner. It's the Holy Ghost that converts. You say it's God. Well, he is God. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. He is God. Well, I thought you said he was the Holy Ghost. He is. Well, I thought you said he was God. He is. They're the same. Watch this. He converts the sinner. Listen to what the Bible said in John chapter number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of what? The Spirit. If you got your Bible open to John chapter number 3, verse 3 through 6, you'll notice every time it said Spirit right there at the end, when it is referring to God and not your spirit, there's a different punctuation. What did he say? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of a capital S. Who's that referring to? That's referring to God the Holy Ghost. Here's what he's saying. Number one, you got to be born by the water. Without going into great details, I think there's a practical application of a natural birth right there. In other words, you got to be born the first time. I understand that we could take water right there and we could go to the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God. But a practical application, I truly believe, is a natural birth right there. You have to be born the first time. You ain't going to be born again if you've never been born the first time. I mean, y'all may act educated, but listen to it. That's just simple things. And here's what he says. After that, it's the Spirit of God that we are born by. It's the Spirit of God that converted me. It's the Spirit of God. Watch this. It's the Spirit of God that turned my heart to Christ. It's the Spirit of God that made the Word of God, which is the Son of God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But it was the Spirit of God that turned my heart to the Word of God. And through the Word of God, the Son of God, I saw the Sovereign. And I saw His love and what He done for me. Oh yes, it's the Spirit of God that converts us. Now, I'm not going to give you all this because I'll preach 2 hours. Once He converts you, there's a lot more that He does in your life. Can I say this? He indwells in you, according to Romans chapter number 8. He indwells in you. What about this? He seals you. Let me read some of this to you. Ephesians chapter number 1. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." What did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1? "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart." Now watch this. The Holy Ghost sealed me after I got saved. Sealed me. You know what that means? That he put something in me and then sealed it off. Can I just give you a very practical, down-to-earth application? Whenever you grow green beans and you go out and pick them and then you strangle them and break them, y'all know what I'm saying? Some of y'all kids didn't know that's the way it happened. You just thought that beans come out that way. They don't. You got to strangle them and break them. Anybody ever went to a bean stringing and breaking party? I hate them. I'm thankful for it afterwards, but I hate them. And then you put them in that canner. You put them in that pressure cooker and pray your house don't blow up. Y'all with me right there? And then you get them out and you set them on the kitchen table on a towel and you go to bed and during the night you hear, and your wife goes, "Woo, hallelujah." And I go, "Go back to sleep." Let me tell you something about that green bean. This is deep. Y'all ready? The only way that green bean is ever going to get out of that sealed jar is if the one that put it in it breaks the seal and gets it out. It ain't getting out on its own. That green bean, y'all holler amen, because y'all can relate to what I'm talking to you about. That green bean ain't getting out of that jar. You want me to tell you what happened the day I got saved? Here's exactly what happened the day I got saved. God put me in a jar and sealed me up with the Holy Ghost, and there ain't no way I'm getting out of it until he comes back and takes his purchased possession home to be with him. The Holy Ghost seals us. Can I just say it this way? Once saved, always saved. I didn't lose it. I'm not going to lose it. It's not mine to lose. I didn't give it to me. I didn't seal me. That's all in him. Hallelujah. If you'll get a hold of that, it'll help you. Oh, yes. Watch this. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. He seals us. According to 1 John 2, he teaches us. According to Ephesians 2, he gives us access to the Father. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit. Unto what? The Father, that's a capital S. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You mean to tell you the way that I talk to God the Father? I talk to God the Father through the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that gives me. Amen. He affirms that we're the children of God in Romans chapter number 8. He intercedes for us. What about this? Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that's capital S, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know what that's saying? Here's exactly what that... Let me just break this verse down real simple for you. Here's what that's saying. They sometimes you don't know how to pray. They sometimes you don't know what to say. You said, "Preacher, I've never been there." I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You'll probably get there one day. Man, troubles come our way. Heartaches come our way. This is after salvation. He's converted us now. Heartaches come our way. Troubles come our way. We don't know what to say, how to say, when to say, where to say. And all we can do is find ourselves piled up on an altar at a church or riding down the road or knelt somewhere else in our home. And all we can do is utter out the words, "Oh God." And you know what the Holy Ghost does? He runs to our aid and he takes it back to the sovereign and said, "Here's what he's trying to say." He intercedes for us. Oh, yes. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Watch this. According to the will of God. When he intercedes on your behalf, he's going to intercede knowing the will of God. He just don't pray anything. You say, well, how does he know the will of God? Because he's God. Because he's God. It's a perfect prayer. Go, amen. Going back to the Father. Where we see the Sovereign's part in salvation, the Son's part, and the Spirit's part. You thought we was done because I said I was going to preach on the Trinity and salvation. But you see, there's one more that we've got to look at for just a minute. In closing, you say, what's that? It's the sinner's part. It's the sinner's part. You see, God done all of this for us. God has acted. But how are you going to respond to it? The Sovereign loved you. The Son gave Himself for you. The Spirit convicts you and intercedes for you. But how are you going to react to all that? The sinner's part in salvation. Can I just say this to you? It's real simple. The sinner's part is this: to hear the Scripture. To hear the Scripture. There's nothing, listen to what I'm fixing to say, no more important than the Scriptures of God's Word. Nothing. That book right there, it's not just some words printed out on paper. That's not what that is today. Man, that's God. That is God on the printed page. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's God. So the sinner's part is this. Well, to hear the Scripture, what did the Bible say in 1 Peter? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What did he say in Romans 10? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. What did he say in John 12? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So the sinner's part is this: to hear the Scriptures. That's the reason when you come start playing softly. That's the reason every song should be scriptural. Can I say that? Every song should be scriptural. I just want to thank you, Lord. Man, do we even have time to begin meddling in the book of Psalms? How many verses goes along with that song? Every song that I can still pray through, boy, that's scriptural. Every song is to be scriptural. Every lesson that is taught is to be scriptural. Understand that there is times that we make practical applications, but it must always point back to Scripture in context. Scripture. 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 Leslie's back in school, y'all pray for her. And I was watching some of her class the other day. I thought it might help me, Brother Lloyd. And I had two or three things come up I had to go do. And you say, well, I ain't sure what they was, but I had to go do them anyway. I was watching some of it. Some of y'all get that in a little while. I was watching some of it. And the professor or teacher or doctor or whatever he was talking said this. Said, anytime you're talking to someone and they're dealing with issues in their life and problems in their life, you must point them back to Scripture. As a Christian, as a pastor's wife, it's got to be derived off of the Scripture. The Scripture, why? Because it's the Word of God that speaks to the heart of man for the Holy Ghost to convict them. It's the Scripture. How do I know that Jesus loved me? Because I read it. How do I know that God sent His Son? Because I read it. How do I know that He'll save me? Because of the Scripture. How do I know that He rose again one third and victorious, glorious morning over death, hell, and the grave? Because I read it. How do I know that 40 days later He ascended back into the heavens? Because I read it. How do I know that He's coming back? Because I read it. How do I know what's wrong and what's right? Because I read it. The Scriptures. The sinner's part is to hear the Scriptures. The sinner's part is this, to heed to the Spirit. When you hear the Scriptures, it'll do one of two things to you. Well, let me just say it this way. It'll change you. I'll just give you one thing. It'll change you, either for good or for bad. You'll either accept it or you'll run from it. That's what's going to happen. It's the sinner's part to heed the Spirit. Because through the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost speaks to our heart, church. It's through His Word. John 6:63 said this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:44 said this, "No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." John 6:65 said this, and He said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were giving unto him of my Father." What does the Spirit do? The Spirit causes us to heed the Scriptures. What is the sinner's part? It's to hear the Scriptures. It's to heed to the Spirit. But I'll give you this in closing. The sinner's part is this, to humbly call on the Savior. That's what it is. What did He say? He said, when He had by Himself purged our sins, not sin, but sin. That's all of them. Can I just say that again? That's all of them. Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Here's our part in closing. We call out to Him. Getting saved is as easy as it sounds. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? It's that we call on the Savior and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart and save us. It's truly, are you hearing the preacher? That simple. So, preacher, I thought I had to do this and I had to do that. I want to ask you a question. Are you saved or lost? You answer that in your mind. You know. I'm glad I can answer it. I'm saved. And bad if I'd answer it, I was lost. I mean, that you don't talk about a service. I preached myself under conviction and got saved. Praise God. I know I'm saved. I ask you the question. Are you saved or lost? If you die in the next 30 seconds, heaven or hell, you got to make a decision. What is it? And if you can't say I'm saved, the Sovereign loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for your sins. And the Son loved you so much that when He went away, He sent the Spirit back to you and left us with the Scriptures. And when you read the Scriptures, the Spirit convicts you and says that that's right and shows you that the Son paid the price for what the Scripture said had to be paid for sin. And all of it was at the hand of the Sovereign. The question is this, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's heaven or hell. The choice is yours. If you're lost, I've got real good news. All you've got to do is confess your sins before Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and save you. And you know what He said? He said He would do it. He said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will in no wise cast you out." God, the Savior, will save you if you'll let.